Our study during the course of this month has been the idea of the uniqueness of the Church of our Lord. And I was telling Brother Tom yesterday, who by the way came up and picked up all the limbs and the trees and everything out here in the cemetery for us all, and for the people who are in responsibility for the cemetery fund. We're glad that that would happen. I was telling him that I was studying yesterday morning, and I studied so hard I didn't realize he had driven up. And a tractor and a trailer and everything, all kind of racket that it would make, but still, I didn't recognize he was out here in the back. So I got through with that particular study. I said, you know, when I'm doing this series regarding the uniqueness of the church, one thing, then I'm doing this series at Jackson Grove starting next Sunday, in regard to how to behave ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. I'm talking about behavior down there and talking about uniqueness here. And to keep it straight and everything is a deal. And so we're talking about that. But this morning I'd like to talk about the unique part of the Lord's church in regard to its reasoning with God about His will. When we talk about reasoning with God about His will, we find that the God of heaven says, "Come now," through Isaiah. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they become white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall become as wool." The idea of coming to the Lord and reasoning with Him. In the Scripture, we find that the Lord of heaven separated various parts of the Scripture. And as a result, we could not live today like they did in the patriarch time and please the work of God. We could not be like people who were Noah in that day and time, and the circumstance of the ark and the flood coming upon the world in which they lived at that time. Nor could we live according to the Mosaic dispensation in which we find Moses and all the way down to the time of Jesus. Paul will write regarding that matter in Galatians 5 and verse 4. He says, "If you attempt to be justified by the works of the law, you have fallen from grace," meaning you've fallen from the whole system of grace that God had planned. You have no real blessings to come up ahead in your daily walk of life, Galatians 5 and 4. But what we do today is we live by way of Jesus Christ. We live by the way that His Son came and represented the cause of the Heavenly Father. And in John 12 at 48 and 49, Jesus let it be known. He said, "The word that I speak unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. For the word I speak unto you is not my own, but my Father gave me these words and commandment that I now deliver unto you." It is the case that Jesus came to represent the word of the Heavenly Father in this Christian dispensation in which we live, for His death was accomplished and His resurrection was accomplished in that time. And so the specific nature of God's word and teaching will affirm to you and me that although we learn from those things in the past, we do not today live in practice of the things of the patriarch system nor the Mosaic system of time. Paul will write to the brethren at Rome about this in Romans 15, and he will note that particular matter. He says regarding this matter that we find ourselves recognizing that they lived in a certain day and time, in a certain place, in a certain way and time, but we today live under Christ Jesus our Lord. And as a result of that, we find ourselves following His teaching and His way of life. When we find Jesus' comments about the church in Matthew 16 and 18, when He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," hell, "will not prevail against it." The word Hades, my death, indicating my death will not stop this church from coming about. And it did not. The fact that He was not here upon this earth when this church came about, there in Acts chapter 2, illustrates the very principle that He had established. the idea of the Lord of heaven being the Lord over his church and head of his body, Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, he's the head of the body, which is the church, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It is the case that his special way is the leadership of his church. He is the one. When you and I go to the authority for what we teach, we must go back to Jesus saying it, or his apostles saying it, as he taught them in John 16, 13. He said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you apostles into all truth. He will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." Indeed, the Holy Spirit was representing the cause of the Lord himself. And as he spoke the word to the apostles, which they in turn passed along to others, then that's the message that was to be practiced by people. And Paul will write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and it 2 and say, "The things that thou hast heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And I've noted before in this series that somebody down the stream of time taught your folks that taught you. Or somebody taught your friends that taught you. And as a result of that teaching that they had and the teaching that they passed along to you as a faithful person passing it along to you, they gave you a message that was to be followed. And when Jesus said there in John 12, "The word I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day," it is the case that you and I are going to meet up with that word that we read in his word. We read what Jesus said. And as a result of that, we're to teach others. And as a result of teaching others, they will become obedient to the Lord. And as a result of that way, it'll be a joy that we find. In 1 Corinthians, in reference to this matter, it talks about the wonderful work of the Lord and the ways of life that we're to follow and how the division should not be that which is practiced and the privilege of preaching the word of the Lord. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, he says, to save those who believe. The idea of this preaching and teaching of the uniqueness of his teaching and the uniqueness of his rules and regulations by which we're to live is the way in which you and I are to follow the way of the Lord. That's the teaching of the church. And as the church practices that way of life, when it practices that way of life, it's going to obviously be different than when people do not go to the Scripture, do not cite the Scripture, do not quote the Scripture in reference to their practices of life. Let's take a look at a few of those particular things this morning. When a church order is a part of life, becoming a member of the Lord's church and added to his body requires us to have, first off, a faith in him. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him." We're to be people who diligently follow the Lord, diligently seek him, and be people who believe in him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must have that faith. And faith comes by hearing, Romans chapter 10 very vividly tells us, by hearing the word of God. We find ourselves believing what is said in that word. Once we believe in that word, what then do we do? Well, Paul writes about it there in Romans chapter 6. He says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid." You see, the grace of God has brought to us the word of God. It's brought to us his will and his way. And as a result of his wonderful favors toward us, the grace of God, sending Jesus to teach his word, and now then the apostles to proclaim his word, and now then the people to obey his word, was a wonderful way of life to live. And the idea of teaching that word is to continue on down the stream of time, as we've noted. And as a result of that teaching of his word, people can learn what the Lord expects of their life. Shall we now, Paul raises that question in Romans 6, shall we continue to live in sin? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? raised therefore to walk in a newness of life. That is the beginning. Once that faith moves us to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, be baptized into his death and raised to walk a new way of life, it's a new day for you and me. A wonderful privilege that we have, specifically authorized. Now, when someone says, well, what you do is you pray these words and the Lord will save you. Where in the New Testament of our Bible do we find Jesus saying to the people, you pray these words? It's a wonderful thing for people to be prayerful. Wonderful thing for people to be humble and prayerful. But on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the people were accused of crucifying the Lord, and indeed they did, when Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, what did he mean for them to do? Did he mean for them to pray and ask the Lord to come in their heart and save them from their sins? A world of religious teaching is done on that way this morning. You've heard it already on radio programs being done. You've seen it on television programs being advanced. But where is that taught in our New Testament? There are those who seek for it and have not found it, and they have identified with the body of Christ. They came to choose to be baptized into Christ because that's what the Scripture tells us that the people did. When Paul refers to that time in which they were obedient to the Lord there in Romans 6, he goes on to say, but God be thanked that whereas you were the servants of sin, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. When we think about what they did on that occasion, they were people who were baptized into Christ. They began to walk a new way of life, and reference is made to their heart in that matter. And he says that whereas you were the servants of sin, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. So many times there are people who find themselves later in years thinking about this and the preaching being done, teaching about this, that have said, I did not with my heart. I went with the young people to be baptized. I went with others. I just did not have my heart wrapped up in it. I lived, continued to live in my sinful ways of life. I did not forsake anything in my life as I chose to be baptized. And I said I was being baptized into Christ, but I realized now that wasn't really what I did. So they want to make right with the Lord. They want to suit themselves into obeying that gospel. That's direct teaching. And to those who would hear this lesson today by way of our internet system, and there will be literally thousands of them that will hear of this message, perhaps the idea is that in your life, you have made a choice in life to do what you do and keep on doing what you did in life, not from the heart of obeying the Lord, by being baptized into Him and begin to walk that new way of life, but by only your particular vanities of life. You thought that that was obeying the Lord, but from the heart it really wasn't the case. And you've come to realize that. Don't delay any further. And to you, this audience today, the idea, don't delay any further being baptized into Christ, being a person who begins that new way of life. That's the thing that he taught. That's the thing that the Lord Jesus himself taught about salvation from sin. And in Mark 16, 15 and 16, when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned. What we find here is a belief in him and a baptism into Christ that frees us from our past sins. No wonder it would be Simon Peter then on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 that would teach what the Lord had said, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's the idea of life. When we find ourselves obeying the Lord with what He specified for us to do, then it is the case that we can rejoice and we will have joy in a newness of life. We'll have others ask us a question about that. We'll have others to say something about it. And instead of saying, this is what I did because I decided to do this, we will have a renewed way of talking about it. I did this because this is what I saw the Lord saying for me to do. Have you ever read this verse in Mark 16, 15 and 16? Have you ever read what Jesus said about this in John 12 at verse 48? My word will judge you in the last day. That's why I went to be baptized into Christ. As a result of that kind of teaching that's done, there have been just scores and thousands and millions of people obeying the gospel throughout the years in various nations of the world. Or we find ourselves in a slothful way of life and a slothful way of doing. And I want to ask a question today. Why do we of this congregation itself find ourselves in a smaller number of people than we used to have and all? And we know that there are a lot of these people that are part of this system of going to town and going to other places and getting involved in that. Did they really from the heart ever obey the gospel of Christ? When we find an answer to that question along the way, maybe we'll be able to reach others along the way. And teaching others in this community and visiting with others of this community, there's a rough set of words that are mannerisms that are being voiced. Did we mistreat? No, not necessarily us mistreat. But some of us may have adopted a system of discipline, a system of talk, a system of roughly treating. And these children no longer, though they be now advanced in years and have children of their own, faithful to the Lord's way. We must be people who cause that to change. And we can change that way of life because of the specific teaching of the Lord. Listen to it in 2 Timothy 2 and at 24 and 25. The servant of the Lord, we claim to be servants of the Lord. All right. The servant of the Lord must not be divisive. The word there in King James is strifeful, meaning that the words that we use are not to be mean-spirited and mean-forwarding, but kindly done. He said the servant of the Lord must not strive or be divisive, but gentle unto all men. Gentle unto our families, gentle unto our children, our grandchildren, gentle unto them. We know what it means to be gentle to a horse. We know what that word means, and it basically means that same thing to people. The idea of gentleness is a concept of kindness and thoughtfulness. It's not a rough treatment. It's not a jerking here, there, and yonder. It's not a shouting and ranting and raving about. It's a way of gentleness that is deeply appreciated by you and me when we have people to deal with us at the grocery store. We don't want them to do anything other than be gentle as they point out where we're seeking for a certain item on the shelf. Well, if we had somebody along the way that said, looked like to me that you would have seen that when you walked in the store, it's right there to your left, we would find ourselves saying, I'll shop somewhere else. I'll go somewhere else. I'll meet up with somebody else. Surely someone else can more kindly tell me where this item is located. We know what gentleness is. And the servant of the Lord must not be divisive, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach, able to cite the scripture, able to point out where that verse is found, able to say that this is what the word of the Lord speaks to my heart and to my life, and perhaps to yours as well. Come and obey Him. Come and be the person of service to Him. Be a part of His body, the church. For the Lord added daily to the church those that were being saved. Acts 2:47. I can be a person like that. You can be a person like that. But I have to gently talk to people. Gently speak to folks. Apt to teach and patient. Be patient with it. They've been taught a lot of things out here in the world in which we live. A lot of things that's not found in the Scripture at all. Things that they could not cite in the Scripture at all. The idea is to be patient with them. And in meekness, verse 25, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. That's a revelation to you and me sometimes. We think that they turned us down and turned us down and turned us down when they didn't obey the gospel. The truth of the matter is, the servant of the Lord must not be divisive or strifeful, but gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. Be kind to that individual. But his opposition or her opposition is not to you and me, but to self. For this is the word of the Lord spoken to all of us. And when we don't follow the word of the Lord, what happens to our lives? We make decisions on the basis of what we want to be. And we actually have avoided the direction of the Lord for our own lives. Think about that. Because we need to teach people. But we don't need to teach them from the standpoint we're deeply offended that they didn't hear and obey. No, let's carry on teaching. Let's carry on going. Let's carry on being kind to persons. Let's carry on being patient with individuals. And as a result of that, the hope is that they will see it and sense it and be obedient to the gospel. And two, like you and me, become people. Now, once we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become added to the body of Christ, like he said in Acts 2:47, the Lord added daily to the church those are being saved. Specifically being saved, he didn't add just anybody. The saved individuals were added by the Lord to his church. And once they are in the church of the Lord, what are they to do? Well, they're to grow. And the Hebrew writer tells us very vividly how that's to be done, Hebrews 5. For when is the time that come that you ought to be teachers? You have need that one come and teach you again, which be the oracles of the first principles of God. For you are such that have need of milk and not of strong meat. For milk belongs to those that by weak in the faith. But meat belongs to those who by strength determine what's good and evil and go on in life and be people who serve the cause of God. When you and I obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we've only just begun. We find ourselves saved from sin, added by the Lord to His church. We begin in a worship time of honoring the Lord, putting first the kingdom of God in our lives, Matthew 6:33. And we find people who follow the way of the Lord around us, and we encourage them, and we do that. And we find people who do not know a thing about this, and we teach them, not what we did for ourselves, but what we did for the Lord's teaching to our lives. Once we find that opportunity to teach and carry on, we find a lot of people that all of a sudden they just meet with something, they read the scripture and they see it and sense it. And now then, what should I do with it? And it takes patience to work with them in that regard. They realize that I'm opposing myself. I'm not really a saved individual. I'm not really fit for the time of meeting the Lord and the facing the day of judgment at all. I need to obey the Lord. Guess whom they will call? Won't they call you or I to find a way to follow the way of the Lord. Assist them in being immersed into Christ, beginning a new way of life. But what if they are part of life and they obey the gospel and they find themselves not living up to what the Lord has said? Do they go back and get rebaptized again? No, no. We're in a relationship with the Lord. And in that relationship with the Lord, we go to 1 John chapter 1, and he talks about how that those in relationship to the Lord, when they recognize that they've done wrong, listen to what's said to them. 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our faults, our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who are these people? They're in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. 1 John 1. And as they're in that fellowship with the Father and Son, they have the privilege to say a word of prayer to Him. And as they say that word of prayer to Him, what do? They confess our sins. And what's God faithful and just to do? Forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It takes a cleansing to get done. Because when we find ourselves not doing what's right, it's not just like a snap of our finger and suddenly we're done. Oh, there are some people that's what happened. Quickly they made their decision for the Lord and that was it. They didn't get back into sin and wrongdoing ever again. But there, for most of us, it's a day-to-day temptation and struggle. As a result of that struggle, I need to have the Lord's cleansing from all unrighteousness. He will forgive me for my request, but He will also cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will cleanse us in the way that we think about what His Word says about the friendships that we made when we chose to sin. And we'll choose to be different now than before. We'll choose to be different. And as a result of that, we'll begin to get to the day and time where we'll look back over our lives and say, why was I ever so in a struggle with that problem? Be it profanity said, be it unworldliness I lived in, whatever it was. Why did I struggle with that way of life? And you can give credit to the Lord. He not only forgave me, but He cleansed me from all unright doing, unrighteousness. As a result of that, I had opportunity to be more closer to God. And that's exactly what I chose to do. Think about your way of life today as this song is prepared for us to sing. And think about our souls and our relationship to the Lord. Would you come and obey Jesus at the beginning of confessing your faith in Him, being baptized into Him, and beginning to live for Him from day to day? It's a wonderful way that we talk about this specific ways of life that the Lord wanted us to follow. Would you come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing today?
There's a fountain just for you and me. Let us come, just for you and
God bless you with a safe afternoon. Look forward to seeing you this evening at 6, and good to be with you. And I hope you've enjoyed, benefited from the services that we've done this month in this particular series of lessons. We'll close it out tonight, Lord willing. Thank you.